watching parts of my sermon come alive. Sometimes when I write things or Lord gives me something, he doesn't really tell me why, where the direction he's going. But Michelle took part of the sermon already in what she was sharing, which is cool. Let's open in prayer. Abba, I stand in awe of you and what you do, how you do it, and why you do it. We only see things a little dimly, Lord. You see it complete. When we stand before you, we will see it complete, but not now. Right now, we need to learn to trust in you and what you're doing. Abba, this day is your day. This teaching is your teaching. This is about you and helping people draw closer to you. Father, I ask that you hide it all behind, as Pastor Al says, the cross of Jesus. You cover it with his blood. And if there's words that I'm putting in that aren't supposed to be there, let them hit the floor like Satan hit the earth. Because this is only about you, sir. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Next change. I was asked to pray for an individual by the name of Brent. Brent is a meth addict in Florida. His mom is supposed to hear from him this afternoon, but hasn't heard from him since March. And when you're homeless and a meth addict, that's not good. So let's lift him up. And then I want throughout today, because she's supposed to hear from him this afternoon, as the Lord puts him in your heart, lift him up before the Lord. Keep him before it. Because that's right in the sight of God. So Abba, we lift up Brent before you right now. Father, miles don't mean anything to you. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit convict him. That your angels are about and around him, and that people that are called by your name, find him. And they minister to him in a way that draws him closer to you and closer home. Father, I all too well understand this addiction called meth. I believe it's straight from hell. So I curse this addiction right now on him in Jesus' name. And I thank you in advance, Father, that you are going to start miracles happening. I know, sir, that you do not go against a man's will, but I also know you don't play fair. And you can rewrite the rules. And you can lead a man to you. So, Father, that's what I'm asking. I've seen you do it before, Father, and, sir, I ask you to do it again. That you be glorified, sir, not anyone else. In Jesus' name. The other thing the Lord put on my heart to do, and people here have heard me say this, you know, about the box of rocks that I have in my office. It's real easy when you teach or when you Lord uses you in whatever capacity to think that you got a handle on things. I truly do have a box of rocks in my office to know that on my best day, when I have done everything right, when I've ministered to everybody that God has asked me to minister to, everything perfect. perfect compared to God. That's how smart I am. Compared to God, that's about how much I know where he's leading me. A while back I prayed, Lord, I don't need to get smarter. I need to figure out how to use what you've already taught me. That's why sometimes people think I'm a little too practical, a little hard, or a little, hey, let's get the rubber on the road, make it smoke. I don't have real fluffy, soft, inspirational sermons. That's not what I'm about. I'm about walking out Christ on this planet in a world filled with hate, evil, drugs, and viciousness. So I think that's where I wanted to get that out in the front, because I think when you hear this sermon, you'll understand why that was important. We have a lot of things going on in this little body, way more than we could even think about. So the title, the main title of this is, Where To Now? My subtitle is Why Is It So Hard To Listen? Oh, I'm sorry, Children's Church. Thank you. You know, this is awesome. I don't know if any of you noticed, but I play with them when they're, you know, kids are cool. Kids are just cool. Oh, Father. You know I like acronyms. And I'll get a thing like listen, and I'll think about this, and I'll go, okay, Lord, what does that word actually mean? Or what does it... So I can go to the dictionary, and it's, you know, it's an action or a verb. It is the key to effective communication. Without the ability to listen effectively, messages are easily misunderstood. It brings to light why Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15. Or as he said in the Revelation, let the churches hear. Hear. So I looked at it, I said, Lord, what? I like acronyms, so let's look at listen. L stands for learning. You know, the only way you can learn is if you listen. So learning is a part of that. Also, it's intentional. All we have to do is ask husbands and wives, when the spouse listens to you intently or with intention, how important is it? Versus just, you know, as, you know, cursory, you know, that, what do they call it, selective hearing? It causes study. Studying is a part. When you listen and you hear something and you intentionally listen to it, you're going to start thinking about it. You're going to start studying it. You're going to start going after it. And once you start that point, then you're going to start training. Not only training about the subject you've heard, but also about howing to hear more. Because that doesn't come naturally. That's something you have to train. Any hunter, when they're out in the field stalking game, or they'll hear the twigs snap. They'll hear, but they train their ears to hear that. If they've got music playing in them all the time, or they don't hear those things. So there's training involved. Exercising, practice. I joked with Gary one time many years ago, because he was in his in the Wednesday night Bible studies saying repetition, or practice, repetition. And when we went out for coffee, I said, "Gary, thank you." And he looks at me and goes, "What for?" I says, "You just helped me understand why I was such a good drunk. Repetition. No matter what we do, good or bad." We need to practice it. We need to repeat it. We need to do it. We need to train. When? Now. You ever spoke to your kids? When did you want them to hear you? Now. When did God want me to change things around and pray for Brent? 2 weeks from now? No. Now. Now. So listen, this nice little acronym, learning, intentionally, study, training, exercise, now. Now, I want to read it's quite a bit of scripture, but it's an account that Paul went through. And we're going to talk about this a little bit and go into it, because I think it says a lot about how we take the next phase that not only Pastor Al has prophesied about and talked about, but Michelle just did. And you know, before we hit that, I want to do just a little bit of history. This was later down in the sermon, but we're going to bring it up front. Michelle talked about praying morning and evening. In 1903, two ladies were praying that a preacher would come. And Brother Seymour, a black man, showed up at their door one evening. Now remember, this is 1903. Not a cool thing. Even with California being very progressive, not a cool thing. And God started something that was called the Azusa Street Revival. They started praying, a small group of them, on a daily, every day. Then it turned into 24 hours a day. Somebody was in that church praying. Do you realize that's the foundation of what we have today? That's why we are all sitting here. Three people started something. Two women by praying and getting a black man. Now, you look at the result of that. They attribute 6.5 million salvations to that little event. You know who did most of the miracles? And they talked about the glory cloud, the children, like my grandbabies playing hide and seek in the glory cloud that was on the floor. And the majority of the miracles that happened, people coming out of wheelchairs, people's arms growing, ears opening, eyes opening, cancers being gone, all of these things came about by 15, 16, and 17-year-old kids praying over people. So us old graybeards, we get to sit back and watch. We're not going to be in the midst of it. You sit back and they go, "Where to now? What do I do? What's it about?" God's just waiting. He calls you strong soldiers, armory, valiant youth. Our day of visitation is coming. Pastor has talked about that. I believe it's at the door. I believe what has been put on Michelle's heart to do is some of the first steps. But I've also been watching in this body people stepping up, people doing things that has just been awesome. The food shelf, what we have done with just seniors and different things. We've been doing them for years. But you know, God, we're not on our timetable. We're on God's. That's what's so awesome. And He will do it. My hope and dream, and again, it's a little farther down the sermon, so I haven't varied from it. My hope and dream is before I leave this earth, I see the power that was at Azusa Street operating again in the church. I can't even comprehend how powerful it will be with some of the old bikers that I know that are in wheelchairs because they lost their legs all of a sudden, grow legs and get up out of there. What is that going to do to the old clubs that they were a part of? And just history note, a lot of this is documented in secular newspapers. This isn't Christian hype. There's actual historical records of this stuff happening. This is why we need to learn to listen. Do you think those two ladies had to really listen to the Lord when this black man showed up on there? Or do you think that black man, Brother Seymour, when they wouldn't let him in the auditorium to listen to the teachers speak during his credentialing or during his training, he had to sit outside the door. Do you think he had to be listening to God that this was worth it? Now we'll get into the scripture or the account that I wanted to go into. It's Acts 16 through, or Acts 16:6 through Acts 16:15. It's about Paul trying to go on a journey. Now when he had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had gone or come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Passing on by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul. In the night, a man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samaras, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in a city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out from the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to a woman, to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she had heard, she and her household, spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now, if Pastor Al was to stand up here 1 week and say, "I think we should go this way," and then the Holy Spirit stopped him, and then he goes, "Well, no, let's go this way," and the Holy Spirit stopped him, our first thing would be, "Is this guy got it all together?" So think about what Paul's people were doing. Because, as it says, not a lot has changed under the sun. And then he had a vision. Okay. I mean, let's put this in perspective. Then he had a vision. My question in this story really comes down to, was the prayers of Lydia hitting the throne of God? And God was saying, "Yeah, I got a guy I can send." And Paul was busy about doing what Paul's been doing for 15, 20 years. But if Paul hadn't been listening, in my understanding, that relationship with Lydia opened up many doors for him. Paul was listening. Are we? Most of the time, I think we come in with the attitude is, "Are we there yet?" You ever had kids say that to you? "Are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet?" How often do we take that same attitude with the living God? "Dad, are we there yet?" And all we hear is silence, and we go, "Well, did I do something wrong?" Maybe he's trying to help us listen. Or as Roger Stacy used to say to me, "Bruce, enjoy the journey." Maybe there's something along this path that we get to learn and enjoy and grow with. So much of what I've learned in the first 2 decades of being a Christian and all the, I didn't know how to use. I was so focused on learning, I didn't know how to apply. That comes by listening. Took me close to 30 years to figure out. Been walking with the Lord 42. Took me close to 30 to figure out that if I slowed down long enough and listened, I get a lot farther down the road. How did I learn that? I was out on the stump all mad about a whole bunch of stuff, literally. And God said, "Bruce, will you just shut up, sit down, and know that I'm God?" We need to learn to listen. Do you think Paul knew the end of his journey when he started? Nope. Guarantee you he didn't. So, first of all, those around him, when we were really listening to God, probably are going to think you're a little bit quarter bubble off plumb. Second thing, God really doesn't care and he wants you to start moving on it now. And you really aren't going to know the outcome of it until you step into it, because that's called walking by faith. Paul gave God permission to redirect his direction. Are we willing to give God permission to redirect our direction? Think about it. Are we willing? I told Pastor one time a prayer that Kim and I used to say. I still say it once in a while here. Lord, we give you permission to mess in our stuff today. Pastor Al started praying that, and he said, that is the most crazy prayer. He said, why'd you tell me that? Because God, once we give him permission, he really starts doing it. It's an amazing thing where he takes us. How many people, if we just allow him to redirect our steps, will that one encounter change their life forever? But you know, unless we train our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and we really consider that, how are we going to hear him redirect our steps? Does he have to hit us, and I'm guilty of this, upside the head with a 2x4? You know, I'm not going to tell you I'm not thick as a brick. There is a reason I have this. I need to remind myself, he's smarter than I am. He may tell me things that I don't understand. And I praise God for that. Pastor Al gave us, through him came a prophecy about this body, about how we were going to draw closer to God. We were going to see more of God work. We were going to see more powerful things happen. We were going to What came up in my heart when I heard that was I'm one step closer to seeing the desire of my heart. To see the cancers go away. To see the eyes opened up. To watch my kids play hide and seek in God's glory. I was one step closer. That's where my heart went. That's what I heard him talking about. Drawing closer to God, because those are the things that happen when God has permission to run the show. Things change. Absolutely, things change. And he said, this vision, our day of visitation, was at the door. Was close. I don't want to miss that. I want to just be, you know, I might not be right in the midst of it. I might not be operating totally in it, but if I could get to see it, I'd be a happy camper. Sounds a little crazy to some of you that God actually works this way. But he does. He is without limit. I love this scripture, and I'll paraphrase it so nobody gets mad at me. I'm going to paraphrase it. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it come into the wildest imagination of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. He has the ability to show and do things that we cannot get our arms around. Which is what I just, I look forward to. So we need to come. We know those things are there. So how do we walk with that, not against it? How do we not get all screwed up? I think each of us individually, and I don't care that high, up to that high. Baby skin or gray beard. We have to find why we're using up God's oxygen. What is our place? And my place is not your place, vice versa. So if you look at somebody and say, well, why aren't they doing it this way? Go repent. Especially if they're seeking God. But each of us are responsible to take the time to find out what we were created to do. Now, that can take on a lot of facets. I can tell you right now, after about 30 years, the Lord finally showed me my job, why I use up His oxygen is I pick up broken pieces. Period, the end. That is exactly what I've been called to do. I have not been called necessarily to glue them back into a part of the whole or to maintain them. I pick up a broken piece. I get it back in to where it can be ministered to and brought back into the whole completely, and then I go pick up another broken piece. That is what I do. Each one of us has a call like that. Now, is that making sure that the food shelf is taken up? And it's all about making sure the hungry have food. You know, I don't know. Is that a part? Is that just one aspect? Like preaching up here is an aspect of picking up pieces? Or is that what God has called? That's for you and I to fully understand and to seek out. God has created a complete universe. Jeremiah says before, from the foundations of the world. So before your parents' parents' parents were, He knew you. And He had a future and a hope. He had a place created just for you. Now, you have heard me say, and you know, go into the carpentry side. If you remove one of these boards, is this ceiling complete? So if one of us can't find where we belong in this body, are we going to be complete? I'm not trying to tell or share or say that you have to have something like I do. It might be just being a good mom. It might be just raising kids or being a Pied Piper to kids, as I say. I don't know what it is, and I'm not trying, but earnestly seek it. And once we start finding our place, and once we find that thing that God has called us to do, we need to be diligent about it. Scripture says to know the state of your flock. A lot of people, that's just to our pastor, right? But being a good steward, that covers you. Know the state of affairs God has asked you to be a steward over. Scripture says, be diligent, or to study, to show yourself approved unto God, not to man, unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was going to read Corinthians, but I'm not going to go. There was one thing, but Corinthians 12:18, actually 12 through 31. Corinthians 12 through 31. Take time today and read that. 12:18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Think about that statement. Is there one cell in your physical body that hasn't got a job to do? That's allowed just to sit on the sideline? And each one of those cells has a purpose. The body of Christ and its members are no different. And he put each one in its place just as he pleased. Not Bruce, not Pastor Al, not the man on the TV, as he pleased. So I think, I'll go back to this. We really need to strongly seek out what that place is. And then we need to be diligent about walking it out the best we can. And coming into a point of being content with what God has called us to do, not necessarily satisfied. And there is a difference. Content means you're okay where God has you, but you're not satisfied knowing just what you know about that place yet. So you dig in. Little sidebar here. And we were talking about this in men's Bible study the other day. When Satan fell, and God threw him to earth, like it says, he hit like a bolt of lightning. What was his sin? He was the father of sin. He was the beginning of it. He was a liar. But when we were discussing it, primarily because he didn't want to be where God put him. He wanted to be someplace else, something else. This is why it's important for us, especially if we're going to move ahead on this day of visitation coming for us. Now, I'm going to go through, just the Lord told me to go through a little timeline here. And I'll make this quick because I can't talk about your timeline, but I can definitely talk about mine. And if somebody was looking at my life as a know, from a 50,000 foot viewpoint, they'd say, this dude is really screwed up. So I started off in England, all strung out in drugs, alcohol, all that. I think I've shared that story with you. And the Lord sent a man 6,000 miles to preach the gospel to me, and I got set free. And when I came back from the military, I became an employee of my dad, trying to figure out this God thing. And I wasn't real good at it, but I was trying to. Did some Bible studies, some different things. And then a little later on, I left my dad. I started up my own company, and I was a business owner. And then that didn't work real well, and I went back to being an employee in a different career field. Now, I went from construction to printing. Okay? They're not even in the same hemisphere. Then I became a business owner again. Then I was told, or by the Lord, he impressed on me to get my credentials, which, if you knew the history, I thought pastors were a waste of skin. If you ever want to know why I thought that, I'll go happy one-on-one and tell you. But I did not think much about pastors. Fought that probably 5 years. Back to school bites. I'm sorry. When you're 40 years old and go back to school, it really bites. Got past that credential, then I became a business owner again, working those two things. And then from being a business owner, I went back to being an employee. Then I went into the motorcycle ministry. Then I wasn't in the motorcycle industry for a number of reasons. And I took a much more active role in the church and became part of the board, a part of different things up here. Then I'm back in the motorcycle ministry. Now again, can you imagine looking at this whole scenario from 50,000 feet? I look like I'm down the road, all over the place. But here's where I ended up. And this is one of the things the Lord showed me. Today, I'm a part of an active, growing motorcycle ministry. I am active in my local church. I'm a full-time employee to build a business for a Christian business owner that comes into my office more often than not and says, Bruce, we need to pray about this subject. I'm one of a handful of people in the world doing what I'm doing. Now, I had a chance to look back at that timeline and say, God, you really did have this in control. I wish I would have listened a little bit better. It would have been a whole lot easier on me. Does it mean I wouldn't have gone through all these steps? No. But I could have smiled a lot more going through them, because I knew there would have been a purpose. I didn't have to wait till the end to find that purpose. In closing here, I wrote these down, so I'm going to be a little bit more precise in here. It's the way the Lord uses me on this. I improvise on my notes sometimes. Final conclusion, if you know what God has designed for you to do, the first step is then to start listening intently. Your second is to give God permission to redirect you, because he does know what he's doing. Take time to understand the church's vision. because God called us to be into unity. We don't have to be in agreement with everything, but we do have to be in unity. And if you don't understand the difference, do some study. Because I can guarantee you, I don't have a problem going into a bar, but you might disagree with that. Because I know if I go in, I'm coming out with somebody. Otherwise, I don't go in. Be in unity and realize God is using people differently. But that doesn't mean you can't be in unity just because you don't understand. I'll guarantee you, I don't understand a lot of the things God has called you guys into. But I can still call you brother and sister. Or as I said to Gene, friend, which is a blood covenant term. Be diligent about it. Be purposeful. Be a good steward of what God has given you. I look forward to what He has for this small body of people who love Him. How often did He use a small army? To defeat the strongholds. Because He didn't want man saying, I did it with my own strength and my own power. He wanted to show Himself mighty. Let's close. Well, no. There is a few faces that I have not seen here. If there's anyone here who hasn't given their heart to the Lord, I want to give you the opportunity to do that here. You can come up and I'll be happy to pray with you and walk with you through this. Let's close in prayer. Abba, thank You for this awesome day. Thank You that You, sir, You alone are in control.